Romans 6. This week we have just verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word, giving us a new way, new titles, for thinking about the transition, the definitive change that is made in someone when we are baptized into Christ, which of course we've been reminded many times is not something that happens when the water is poured out upon you, but when the Spirit is poured out upon you. And when the Spirit makes you alive and gives you faith so that you are joined to Jesus Christ, you are baptized by the Spirit, by use of the Spirit, mode of the Spirit, into Jesus Christ. And you go from being dead in your trespasses and sins to being alive together with Him. And we go from being the slaves of sin, who offer every faculty, every aspect of who we are, what we have, as slaves of sin, as weapons for sin. And so the one who is dead in his trespasses is weaponizing everything that he is and everything that he has for sin. And you go from being that to being alive unto God. Now you're a slave of God, but being a slave to God is very different than being a slave to sin. Being a slave to sin is death. Being a slave of God is being alive. And so you go from being a slave to sin to being alive unto God. And now we have a new way of describing that transition, which is you go from being under law to being under grace. And that helps us understand what it is to be under law. To be under law is to suffer the sentence of the law. He who sins shall die. To be under law is to only have our obedience to the law as a hope, which is, of course, no hope at all. The dead man cannot hope that he will have a second wind in order to finish the marathon. He's dead. Being under grace means, first of all, that the sentence that was against us has been canceled. But second of all, that we have a power and a hope that are not from ourselves, but are from God. If there was good in us, the law could have given us hope, but there was not good in us. And so in a couple of chapters' time, the apostle is going to say that God has done what the law could not do because the law was weakened by our sin. Not that the law is weak, but that as far as a hope for righteousness, the law is weak, if it offers obedience to the one who cannot obey. And so this is the transition, that we no longer live under the banner of our effort, but we now make effort, we live under the banner of God's grace. And so he says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, because this transition has taken place. Because we have passed from the law realm in which we were dead, and we have been brought into the grace realm in which we are alive, in which we live by the Spirit, in which we live in union with the Son. And so now the power of the triune God is at work in the life of the Christian. Because the Christian lives in union with Jesus Christ. And the Christian lives, therefore, by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The one to whom we are united has given us His Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us and help us in living in union with Him, as the Spirit constantly pours out God's love in our hearts, as He constantly directs our attention to the Lord Jesus, and not just what the Lord Jesus has done for us in His earthly ministry and His completed work here, but what the Lord Jesus is doing for us in glory now in his intercession, and what the Lord Jesus will do for us in at the return and at the judgment. And so we have come out of one kingdom, the sin kingdom, where we were under the law, but as sinners, sin reigned as king, and when we turn to the law for help, the law says what is right, that we don't deserve help, that we must do it, and we can't. And we've come into the grace kingdom, where we live and we march by the life of the Spirit as service unto our King, our God, which we are able to do by grace. What this does not mean is that we don't care about the law, or that we don't love the law, or that we don't obey the law. There are people who read this verse that way, but it couldn't be more opposite the truth about this verse. Because when we come from being under the law to being under grace, it is then for the first time that we truly care about the law, that we truly love the law, and we begin for the first time in any way to truly keep the law. It doesn't mean those things, but it does mean that we should have great confidence against sin and great commitment against sin. In the first place, we should have great confidence. Sin shall not have dominion over you. It is no longer your king. How do you know? Because you're not under law, you're under grace. And the only way to come to be under grace is to have a new king, the King of Righteousness, Jesus, God. And since you have a new king, and you live in a new realm, you do not have to obey the old king. He seems very strong at times. You spent a lot of time in his reign. Until you received your new nature, your old nature did nothing but want to serve self, which is a demonic deception, because serving self is just serving sin. And so he seems like a great and mighty king. And you may be tempted to think, you may fall into thinking that sin is a powerful master over you, but it's simply not true. You have a new citizenship, you have a new nature. It has no right over you, and you should be confident against it. And you can assert, I am not under law. I no longer walk in my own strength. You're right, I'm weak. You're right, I'm sinful. I do commit sins. But you are not my king, and I shall escape your grasp completely by the time this is all said and done. Do you hear that in verse 14? Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And so with the confidence that has been transferred from yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, you say, I am confident in Christ that since I am under grace, sin cannot be my master. But not just confidence then, but commitment. Because there are those who, as we're going to hear in a couple verses time, if you have your Bible open, you can look at verse 16, who do present themselves as slaves to sin to obey it. And so there are those who, even though they have been transferred into the kingdom of grace, transferred into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of righteousness, who, in confusion, in weakness against the remaining sinfulness, do at times give up the fighting, and they slide back into the way of living, in which they're just serving themselves, and they're just serving sin. And they are acting every bit the same as if they belong to the former king, the usurping king, who doesn't have a right to the throne, but they give him that throne anyway. And it is grievous, and it is treacherous, and it is deadly. And it makes them such a weak and sickly grain of wheat, or stalk of wheat, to use an image from our Lord's parable, that they no longer can be distinguished from the tares, from the crabgrass, that belong to the enemy. And so when we read, you are not under law but under grace, it's not just a call to confidence against sin. It's a call to commitment against sin. To refuse to live for myself. To refuse to indulge my fleshly desires. To refuse to be bitter. To refuse to be vengeful in my spirit. To refuse to be anxious over what may come. To refuse to use my mouth as a weapon against others. To refuse to indulge lust with my eyes or with my mind. That we should be committed against sin. It is no longer our master. And if we value our transfer into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of righteousness, if we value having been transferred from being under the banner of the law to being under the banner of grace, if we value having been transferred from operating under the power of obedience to the law to operating under the power of Christ in us, then we should be committed to expressing our new citizenship, to expressing our new identity, to expressing our new power source, to enjoying and declaring and demonstrating that our God really has saved us. He really has brought us through this definitive transition. And so those are the three big things. The first, thinking of the transition as going from being under the banner and power of the law to being under, going from being under the banner of the law and powered by the law to being under the banner of grace and being powered by grace. That's the first thing. And the second is that this should give us great confidence against sin. And the third is that this should motivate a great commitment against sin. It shall not have dominion over you. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that though you didn't help any of the angels who fell, yet you singled out Abraham from among the nations, because in his seed you were saving sinners from among every family of the earth. And that here we are as a family now, and we know you as master, and we don't just know about your law, but by your spirit you've made us love your law, even such that we're grieved by how little we love your law, and how even less we do that which we love from your law. But you, O God, are the one who have brought us out from under law, in which we only ever hoped in ourselves, to being under grace, where our hope is entirely in you. And since you are our King, and you are our help, we pray that you'd give us confidence against sin, that as we fight in battle that is difficult, and that feels at times losing, you'd make us to remember from your word that the change of banner and the change of power has guaranteed to us that there has been a change of king. And help us, O Lord, to love, to assert and demonstrate and enjoy that you have brought us under grace by our commitment against sin. And grant that we would do so more and more, that this usurper that would style itself as king would be embarrassed and humiliated and crushed by your power operating in our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.